Thank you. Folks, welcome to the Windows Inc. and Dial Talk at Build 2017. I'm David Abzarian, and I build for Windows. My team creates the platform and components that enable experiences with natural inputs like pen, touch, and ink, as well as other modalities like precision touchpad and game controllers.
Hi, I'm Shah Vishwanathan. I also build for Windows Inc. I'm a dev lead on the Interaction Platform Inc. team.
So this is our third time presenting at Build, and I'm really excited to share the journey with you guys. The Inc. ecosystem is constantly evolving, and it's transforming how we think about computing. With Windows Inc., we're able to harness a user's unique personality, facilitate creative expression, and empower them to create the moment they pick up the pen. Today, we're going to share with you some of the new experiences that are unlocked by the platform and the growing opportunities to differentiate and make your apps stand out using Inc. When we talk about the features of the Windows Inc. platform, we frame them by four key principles. Simple. It's so easy to add Inc. to your application with our drop-in XAML controls. It's natural. Windows Inc. brings the feel of traditional pen and paper and also brings some of the tools of the analog world into the digital domain. Intelligent. We're going to introduce Smart Inc. today, which uses AI to bridge the gap between natural input and digital constructs to empower the user to do more. And lastly, fluent. It's a glimpse of the future of how we blend pen and touch together and ink with fluent design for the most beautiful and intuitive input experiences ever. But first, a quick video showing you some of the awesome experiences with Windows Inc. I'm so proud of all the teams at Microsoft for building the experience that you just saw that help you to be more productive, learn better, and just have more fun in general with computing. Speaking of experiences, since Build 2016, we have seen the number of inking apps in the store triple. That's incredible growth. And our users now have over 1,000 apps to choose from across a broad set of categories that allows them to create, consume, and collaborate with Windows Inc. For this, we want to express our most sincerest thanks to you guys, our Windows Inc. app development community. This wouldn't have been possible without your partnership and dedication, so please give yourself a greatly deserved round of applause. The opportunity to impact users with your inking apps is constantly growing. There are now double the number of pen devices in users' hands today than there were a year ago at last year's Build. And we're on track to doubling that again by Build 2018. With more devices, there are new users coming online every day demanding compelling pen and ink applications that you guys are building. We're not only seeing incredible device growth, but also increased engagement. We're seeing more users spending more time with their pen and apps. And engagement has actually doubled year over year. And we're expecting that trend to continue as we're given the investments that we're making in this space. For those of you unfamiliar with the term NPS, I'm an engineer, not a marketer, so it was new to me. It means Net Promoter Score. And it measures the willingness of a customer to recommend a specific product or service. And it's also a way to gauge overall satisfaction. Customer satisfaction is important to all of us. And the fact that users who use the pen on Windows are far more satisfied than those who use traditional input types means that it's very validating that for us as an inking community, a collective, that we're on the right track to changing computing here. Now, with pen users being more satisfied than those using traditional inputs, it's critical that we make more pens available to these users and make sure they're readily available and accessible to all of our customers. The best way for users to experience and love Windows Ink is for their device to come bundled with a pen. But due to pricing pressures, we see that some devices, that's not always possible. Many of you came up to me last year at Build and said, hey, I have a specific device. I know it works with pen. Which pen do I use for it? And my answer was different for each of you. I kind of realized at that point that if it's that difficult for us in the developer and technical community, it's got to be really difficult for our customers, and hence the birth of the Microsoft Pen program. Using some of the DNA we borrowed from our Surface products, we created the Microsoft Pen program in partnership with industry leaders in pen and touch, like Elan and Wacom, and it enabled OEMs to source affordable, high-quality pens and bundle those into the ecosystem. And this is something that we think is, because all the components of the supply chain use the same protocol, everything becomes interoperable, and it means finding a compatible accessory pen is much easier. On that note, last year we announced a partnership with Wacom in this area. And I'm excited to show you the new Bamboo accessory pen, which you see on screen here, which speaks the Microsoft Pen protocol and works across the vast majority of Windows devices. And look forward to this. It'll be available in major retailers this summer. MSRP is TBD. In addition to creating more addressable sockets by getting more devices and pens in users' hands, we also want to help your apps get the greatest visibility with our customers. And there are lots of opportunities to do that. Both the Windows and Surface marketing teams are always looking to showcase the best pen and inking apps. And now with Desktop Bridge / Centennial, it's even easier to get your ink-enabled Win32 apps into the store. Leveraging blogs, social media, Twitter, there's so many ways that we can work together to promote the best work of the Windows Ink app developer community. Your app could even be featured as a suggested app in the Windows Ink workspace. It's one of the most prominently trafficked areas in the Windows shell. One of the most exciting opportunities is the Windows Ink Collection. It's a curated set of pen and ink-enabled apps that has actually got the number 2 page views in the store. It's actually only second to Edge extensions. It's also amazing from our telemetry that what we've seen is that out of the top 10 revenue-grossing apps in the store, 6 of them feature inking functionality. I like money. I don't know about you guys. Last but certainly not least is the opportunity to partner at Microsoft events like this. We have 2 great partners, Sketchable and SolidWorks, who have been partnering with us to talk here using theater sessions as well as being featured in our talk, which we're going to show a little bit later. Maybe next year, this could be your app. Now, you may be asking, you know, maybe you haven't built an inking app. How do I get started? Well, the great news is, with Windows Ink, it's simple. The simplest way you can get fast, fluid, and beautiful inking into your application is to leverage our drop-in XAML controls. The most important of these is the XAML Ink Canvas. It's what gives you a rendering surface for the built-in Windows Ink brushes, specifically the ballpoint pen, the pencil, and the highlighter. Even if you aren't building with XAML, we've got you covered. Ink Presenter, which is the underlying component that does wet ink rendering, is available to you on Win32 as well. The next control to look at is the XAML Ink Toolbar. It binds with the canvas and provides UI for changing brushes, colors, thickness, and invoking stencils, also erasing. You'll find it easily customizable, so you can add your own buttons to the Ink Toolbar, which is a familiar UI surface for many of our users. You may have seen these controls before, but today we're going to show you how the simple 2 lines of markup gets you so much more functionality. Last year, when we introduced the first true simultaneous pen and touch experience with the ruler stencil, we got an overwhelmingly positive response from both users and our developer community. However, we got a lot of feedback asking for the ability to draw perfect circles and arcs, in addition to perfectly straight lines. In Creator's Update, we've added a new stencil, the Protractor, which can be used to draw arcs and circles of an arbitrary size by manipulating the size of the stencil. This can be done naturally using pinch and zoom gestures, but we're also going to show you another exciting way shortly. We've also incorporated a readout that shows the angle of the arc created from the first ink point you draw to wherever you stop, so you can get the users can get the precise results they're looking for. And invocation to Stencil is just built into the toolbar, which means you get it for free when you drop in the control. But you can also invoke this from Win32 through Ink Presenter. We've also improved upon the ruler stencil and added an angle readout for added precision here. There's also some new magic with regards to manipulations. Now, as you rotate the ruler, it now has soft snapping at every 45-degree increment. You'll get these improvements if you use if you use the toolbar. You also get these if you invoke it through Win32 for absolutely for free. We've also made some improvements to the Ink toolbar control, specifically in the color picker. We've added a stroke preview to visualize what the resultant brush will look like, both in terms of thickness and in color. We've also improved the iconography, so you can actually see what the selected color is much better now. Another big improvement is our integration with Windows accessibility settings. It's important for applications to be inclusive of all users and cater to their specific needs. The latest implementation of toolbar control is now connected to Windows global accessibility settings. So now, when you change to high contrast mode, we only display the colors that are actually visible for that specific profile. When you integrate the toolbar, your applications get this for free. So we take care of all the accessibility work for you. When we talk about Windows Ink being natural, we have a reference standard that everyone's familiar with, traditional pen and paper. For ink to truly be natural, it has to approximate what your brain expects from the analog world. This starts with how the digital pen feels in your hand, its weight, its friction against the glass, but extends to how the ink flows, perceivable latency, and the resulting texture and feel of the ink. The Windows Ink platform minimizes perceivable latency by reducing the path from input to output under the covers. It renders the ink naturally using primitives and textures for the brushes that have all been modeled and tuned against their analog counterparts in the real world. One of the most challenging writing instruments to model naturally is the pencil. As a user tilts a real pencil in various directions against paper, you're going to see that the lead makes different amounts of contact with the paper, so you have varying thickness. When a pencil stroke is applied on top of another pencil stroke, there's subtle layering and blending that has to occur. We are excited to introduce the Tilt Pencil in the Creators Update, which enables users to naturally sketch and shade with Windows Ink. Unlike other digital approximations of pencil tilt, this built-in Windows Ink brush dynamically changes thickness to varying pen tilt, affording a more natural experience versus discrete stepping. And this is Creators Update running on a Wacom Cintiq device. Now, whether you integrate with Ink Presenter in your Win32 app, or you drop in the ink-enabled XAML controls, you'll get this natural pencil affordance for free. And it just works with all the stencils I previously showed. Now, some developers have asked, hey, if I want to access tilt information independent of pencil, how do I do that? Well, it's really, really easy to do for me, Win32 or UWP. There's a structure called pointer pen info. You'll get it through your pointer messages, be it WM pointer or pointer point respectively. And you can actually get the tilt X and tilt Y values, the respective angle of the pen against each plane of the screen. If you use tilt in this method, or you use our drop-in controls, you'll actually get this on any tilt-enabled hardware. So that includes the Wacom Cintiq you saw in the earlier video. It also includes Wacom Intuos Pro digitizers that you can plug in externally, as well as upcoming devices like the Samsung Galaxy Book 12 that is a tilt-enabled device, tilt-enabled tablet. Now, for humans, most skilled manual activities involve two hands playing different roles. Now, we've always talked about simultaneous pen and touch being one way to unlock this. Now, with the introduction of the Surface Dial, the first of what we call a radial controller, users have a new tool that enables interaction in the most natural and immersive way. Radial controllers work standalone, like this one. You can just use it standalone. However, it really shines when you couple it with another input modality, like touch or pen. It allows users to stay in the flow of creation because they're using their non-dominant hand to perform these operations while their dominant hand creates. A radial controller enables the user to make adjustments like color and thickness while inking without having to break away and navigate controls in UI. With respect to the Surface Dial, it actually provides rotation events and click events as input, but also provides haptic feedback as output, so the user can stay in the flow and actually just navigate by feel. Windows has built-in UI and functionality for radio controllers, like the Surface Dial, that enables them to interact with many applications that aren't dial-aware, so for instance, providing them scrolling behavior. It also provides control over global items, like volume and brightness, just by default out of the box. Now, for hardware that supports it, like the Surface Studio, the radio controller can also be put on screen, unlocking a whole ton of new interactions, some of which we're going to show you today. Now, as promised, those two lines of markup we talked about earlier continue to get you even more functionality, including integration with radio controllers with on-screen support. The XAML toolbar is dial-enabled and enables both on-screen and off-screen navigation, including brush selection, color selection, and stencil selection. You also get true simultaneous interactions where rotating the dial while you're inking will modulate the ink thickness. This is something where you can use, your non-dominant hand on the dial and your dominant hand is inking. One of my favorite integration features is stencil rotation and sizing. This is where I can use my dial and I can rotate the ruler to very precisely, but I can also resize things like the protractor to expand the size of the arc I'm trying to draw. What's great is you can also put the dial on screen and the stencils will snap to the dial while still affording you all of that off-screen functionality, such as resizing and rotation. And also note that when you code for radio controller, either by using our toolbar or coding to the radio controller APIs themselves, you don't only get support for Surface Dial, but also for the Dell totems that are going to be present on the Canvas 27. Now, thank you guys for your patience hearing me out. Without further ado, I'm going to have Shaw show you now how to integrate all of this into your application really easily with real code.
Thanks, David. I know David was mentioning to me before the talk, he knows so many people in the audience. I wasn't as clear on that. How many of you guys are app developers building ink apps today on Windows? Oh, quite a few of you. And have you guys used Ink Canvas Ink Toolbar in your flows? Okay. UWP or Win32? Okay. And do we have OEMs and hardware partners here as well? Yeah, okay. Helps me kind of understand what level to keep it at. I'm going to give you guys a reiteration of Simple, which David mentioned earlier. So can you switch over to me there? Thank you. I'm going to start with a blank Visual Studio and give what some of you guys who are more advanced might consider an insulting demo, but bear with me here, and I think you'll see the prize at the end. Oop. We're going to build a new project, Windows Universal Blank App, and just give it a name, Ink Demo. We'll switch to the Creators Update only, because why wouldn't you be using the Creators Update? All right, so here we are, basically with our empty solution, no modifications to it. We're going to bring up our main page. Let's get some a little bit more room. We won't need to look at the designer here. So we always start out with a blank grid. Give me a sec to lay out the Ink Canvas and Ink Toolbar in a sort of a sane way. We'll need some row definitions. We'll just do two here, and we'll make the top of it fit the toolbar by using auto. And do another one to take up the rest of the space. This one will be used for our canvas. So grid, in row 0, we will toss our ink toolbar. We have to bind it to a target ink canvas, which I will name in a second here. Make sure I give it the same one I use later. And we'll give it some alignment too. Get it to the right, and in our next grid row, here we'll drop our ink canvas and give it a, let's see, give it a name. I want to make sure I get the same one I use in the code. Ink canvas. So there you have it. We've added our two lines with a little bit of grid spacing so it'll look a little nicer. Let's see if I made any typos here. I believe I did. Not put. And here we have it. With two lines, we've got ourselves a nice little drawing surface. Now I want to kind of point out, if you go and look at the Ink workspace over here, we have an app called Sketchpad, and you'll notice it looks sort of similar. I did just write Sketchpad for you in about 120 seconds, but it's a poor man's version. You can see there's a lot more in the toolbar here. Anybody who can code can drop two lines of XAML in. I didn't even write a line of code to do this, but the point, what we want to sort of point out to you here is all of the features that you've just gotten for free. We spent a lot of time in our group trying to make sure that we can render pen the best way possible, so it's a problem that you guys don't have to solve. We want you guys to rely on us for things like things that everybody's going to want to have to do. Like, we want the lowest latency ink possible. If you leave that to us, we have coordination with our composition and graphics teams, and we have ways, things like prediction, to kind of give you the best ink is flowing off the tip of my pen experience. Similarly, you know, we're adding brush types and highlighter, things we know people want to do, ruler and protractor, which with our competition are kind of table stakes. We're trying to give you guys these things for free so that when you build your apps, you can kind of focus on your unique value proposition. Another example is stroke modeling and stroke beautification, dealing with pressure and tilt. I know a lot of developers like to solve these math problems themselves, and if you guys want something that we don't do, definitely reach out and talk to us. But you know, when it comes to accessibility, I think you do want us doing that for you. We're trying to shorten the cycle and make it so that you guys get a bunch of stuff built in for free. If you're ready, and I just kind of wanted to point out, David also mentioned that ruler and protractor are already integrated with the dial. So if you are using our canvas, you'll notice here that I can actually, that here it is in action. I can, you know, sort of draw my Wi-Fi symbol better than you can because I have a dial and multimodal interactions. Great. David, back to you. Oh, wait. Sorry, I forgot something. I actually wanted to also show off one of our showcase apps that's done a really good job with this as well, Sketchable. Sketchable is awesome. If you guys have ever used it before, you know you see this amazing picture of cars that I personally could never draw myself. But if you can imagine if I did, these guys have done a great job integrating Dial when it decides to behave on me. And there's some really cool features in here. One over here is the zoom control, where I can rotate the picture, and if I click, I can zoom in and out. So if I really want to get into these headlights and give them some color, I can sort of do it easily with these kinds of multimodal interactions. You know, since I'm a terrible drawer, they also put in a really neat undo stack so that I can just erase everything I just did, because it really ruins the drawing. The other really fun one that I'll just call out is you can sort of do it. There's this dynamic color changing while I'm drawing a stroke. So as you can see, as I draw back and forth over here, whoops, dropped it, I can actually change the color of the stroke dynamically. These are some really cool things. This is probably one of the best applications we've seen of Dial, and so we thank you guys a lot.
Thanks, Shaw. So we only had time to show a small portion of Sketchable's work. So if you haven't already, please check out their theater session where they talk about their integration of Dial and the experience they're delivering with their app in the store. This is also going to be on Channel 9 if you're unable to make it. As Shaw pointed out, the platform is simple, but there is this power and flexibility to do some pretty amazing things with Ink. So last year we talked a little about two features, Core Wet Stroke Update Source and Custom Dry. And so stencils are actually built on this API, which we exposed to you as well, called Core Wet Stroke Update Source, allowing you to modify where we actually render wet ink points. So you could create your own custom stencil, like a French curve if you wanted to, and actually integrate that with DirectInk. And so please take a look at last year's build talk. Check that out on Channel 9. You get a lot more information about how you could do something like building your own custom stencil. For those who are interested in doing more with Dial and sort of getting up to the same kind of level of immersiveness as you see in the Sketchable app, please check out the Surface Dial What's New in the Creators Update pre-recorded talk by Connor Wines. This is on Channel 9. Just check out code P4100. Connor's going to show you how you can get more control of radio controller input, control the haptic output with much more granularity, and even replace the built-in UI with truly immersive experiences, kind of like what you saw with Sketchable. So we're really excited to see what you guys can do with these new capabilities. Now, speaking of new capabilities, we strongly believe that in doing more with ink, with what the user inputs to the system, and when you combine AI and Windows Ink, you get Smart Ink. It's a brand new building block in the platform that enables applications to truly understand versus just simply rendering ink. Now, the magic in this is understanding what a user wants based on what they have inked. Now, aspirationally, where we'd want to go with Smart Ink would be you have a blank canvas, and the user's intent and what they ink decides whether or not they're trying to draw the next Monet or they're trying to get a polished office document. What we want to do with Smart Ink is remove all those barriers between your ink and the final product you want to create. Now, when we as humans, for instance, look at this canvas you see on the right, it's easy for us to identify, hey, there's text, there's numbers, there's a list, there's a drawing of an unhappy face, and there's some shapes. But how do we empower our applications to have that same human superpower? Well, that's where Smart Ink comes in. You first need to classify the various collections of ink strokes in your canvas. This determines sort of which collections are text and which are used to form a drawing. The next step is to analyze the layout of these collections and understand the structure of what you're seeing in the canvas. We need to understand, do some of these form a paragraph? Is it a list? Is it simply a standalone sentence or word? Then once we understand the entities and their structure, we can then use recognition to identify the shapes and drawings and the words from the text. Now that flow is embodied in the Windows Ink Analysis APIs, which we've recently introduced, and it starts with you creating an ink analyzer. This is the same technology we actually debuted in the anniversary update with sticky notes. If you notice, you can enter a stock quote, you can enter a flight number, a phone number, and we identify what those are and give you, you know, contextual information. That's actually all built on this API surface. And ink analysis is really our first step in the journey of Smart Ink. This technology is going to continually evolve from understanding what you have inked to truly understanding user intent with ink. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Shah, who's going to continue coding from the last sample and integrate some exciting features with Smart Ink.
Thanks, David. Careful before you switch over. There you go.
Oh.
Okay, so let's pick up where we left off. We haven't spent more than a few minutes with this app. This time around, we're going to go and bring up our code behind and add ink analysis to this app. There's a lot of great samples on how to do this on MSDN, but I want to walk you through it to show you sort of how simple it is. The first thing we'll do here is acknowledge that we are using some windows.ui.inking. And in this case, we'll also be using inking analysis. With these added to our class, we will just head into our main page here. And there's a couple interesting things we need to do to set up. Basically, we first need an ink presenter, which we will keep around in the class. And we also need an ink analyzer, as David just mentioned. Oop. Won't IntelliSense my names, unfortunately. and when we initialize the main page, we want to get these guys set up as well. In order to do that, we'll basically set the ink presenter equal to our ink canvas, which I wanted to make sure I named correctly earlier, which I did. The ink presenter is a property on this canvas. It's really does most of the heavy lifting in terms of rendering. The reason that we need it is because we want to basically, the idea behind ink analysis is a lot like the touch gesture recognizer, if you've used that in UWP. Strokes, ink points kind of come out of the system, and it's your choice to take those points and route them to the gesture recognizer, and then a new interface that lights up gestures pops out. Same idea with ink analysis, except you use collected strokes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the strokes collected event, and I'm going to register myself just a function that we'll fill in a second here. What do we do as strokes are collected? We also, of course, haven't yet instantiated our an analyzer, which we'll use in a bit. And then we sort of have it. Since I don't have my designer here, let's also fill out this function. So what are we going to do in this strokes collected event? Oops, that's not what I wanted. Ink presenter strokes collected. And this guy gives us back our ink presenter as the sender. And I think it's ink collected strokes arg. I guess it's hard to remember. Ink strokes collected event args. And what we have to do in here is fairly straightforward. We're basically just going to feed it to ink analyzer. So we're going to take our analyzer, and there's a few methods here. There's add data for stroke or strokes. Since multiple strokes may have been collected, we add data for strokes, and those strokes are hiding in our args in a strokes member. Don't forget the semicolon. So with this sort of basic few lines of code, we're now feeding analysis. Okay. So what do we want to do with it? So I think what's the quickest kind of code demo I can do for you on stage? One of the things that always bugs me is as I'm taking a lot of notes with ink, later on I can't go back and search them. Well, with the introduction of ink analysis, that's become really, really super simple to do. So what should we do? Let's go back to our XAML and add a couple things in here. So next to our toolbar, let's throw in a text box that we'll use for searching. And I want to make sure I, again, use names that I used in code before. X name, we'll give it a name of search text. Oop. And I want to, just so I can see it, make sure it's there. And let's put a button in for search as well. Button. Search my ink. And let's put it in the middle so we can see it. Great, so if I kind of peek over at my designer, I can see it's over there. Great, so I've got a search box and a search button. Nothing too magical there. And I want to add a click event here as well, so that I don't have to type in the function click equals, let's call it search button clicked. And I think this will be kind enough to add it in here for me. Yes, thank you. From there, here's kind of the magic. Like, we know we've already been feeding strokes into this guy, so then the next question is, what actually comes out of this ink analysis system? We get results by basically calling an async function, so I better avoid that compiler now. We're basically going to await our ink analyzer to analyze results. So there's an analyze async function. When this guy returns, we will essentially have a complicated tree of nodes that's going to tell us, hey, for all the strokes you fed me, this is what I found. And within this massive tree structure, there's a lot of data, and I'll try to go through as much as I can, so that you guys kind of understand what do we do from here? Thanks for these results. What can I now go and do? And I'll show some samples beyond what I write here of some cool stuff that our PMs have built. After we've done our analysis here, we will be given back this. It's an iRead-only list of. And I can never memorize the name, so I have MSDN to help me. iInk analysis nodes. We'll just call it nodes. And what we do is we basically go and grab these nodes by asking our analyzer at analysis root to find nodes for us. And In my case, I'm just trying to search my ink, so I'm actually going to limit this to ink analysis node kind dot. And can you guys see the IntelliSense here? This is a pretty interesting stopping point. We can look for a lot of different things. We can look for unclassified is kind of like, I don't know what you did. There's writing regions. Root is the root of the tree node, which means I want everything. You can get some of the layout stuff that David mentioned. So was this drawn on a line? Does this look like a paragraph? And then you get, you know, bulleted lists and, of course, words. I think the really, really common one is we want to be able to recognize handwriting. If you guys have used Windows and written into our tick, as we call it, or our text entry experience, you can build that with these ink words that come out. And in addition to the ink word that you've drawn, we have those same alternates that you might see in a candidate list when you're entering text with pen. Let's stick with words for now. And here we go. Our nodes are, and anything that I go and draw now on this app, it will get analyzed. When I click search, I know that I have my results back. I've only pulled out the word nodes from it. So why don't we iterate through them and do something interesting to show them on screen. Let's do I is less than nodes.count. I knew what I was doing. So what do we want to do for these guys? I think we can draw a polygon. I have some snippet code saved to help me, so I won't bore you guys with the math. But what I'll do is go and add using XAML.shapes. Is it Windows UI XAML shapes? Maybe not. Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it did not. Okay, I see. Thanks. We're going to use some shapes. And what we'll do is, let me see here. Go into my cheat sheet. So I'm not a polygon expert, but I'm told this works well. We can build a polygon of a bounding rect of the ink strokes so that we sort of box what we just drew completely. Now, this bounding rect is actually provided as part of this node structure of what's returned from analysis. So we can give it let's give it some thickness so everybody can see it. Let's give it a different color, maybe. The stroke itself, we can do new solid color brush windows. Blue? Colors. And then, of course, unfortunately, this polygon, you have to stuff the bounds that the ink analysis tool returned to us. That's actually sitting in node bounds, which is which you get to by basically looking at the node you're currently dealing with. There's a lot of interesting stuff here, but the bounding rect, it seems to know what I'm trying to do here. Let's go get that guy. I am going to Martha Stewart this a little bit because I don't want to type this much, but the cake is built. Basically, you have to set the four corner, the vertices of the rectangle, just a little bit annoying to do. If I had to type that all up, I'd get carpal tunnel. So kind of back to the node itself. What we want to pull out is the word. There is an ink analysis ink word, I think it's called. Ink word. We'll call that our word. We just cast the node to this guy. And this is another interesting one. We're going to pull out, I don't want to pull it out yet. And then kind of simply just say, hey, if the words recognize text, and you'll notice things like rotating bounded text if it wasn't drawn straight, the text alternates that I mentioned earlier are sitting here as well in case you want to get at them. But if the recognized text is the same as my, I think I called it search text, yes, search text. Text, and actually, maybe for fun, we'll also say, or search text.text equals star. so I can just search for something that'll show you everything in a second. We basically just want to highlight. In order to do that, we'll need to add a canvas. I think that should be fairly straightforward. Canvas x name equals canvas. And now we can refer to it. Canvas has a bunch of children in it, and we will add our polygon, which is now bounding rect. Okay, let's check for errors. That's a double equals. Let's see how this goes. Ah, it liked me. Okay, great. Well, let's give it a shot here. Let's say I want to look for the word ink. You know, I can say this is Windows ink and search. And there you go. It's found the word ink. And then just so you guys, this is so you can kind of see it. Since I allowed that star condition through, let's just look for everything. You can see it's picked up almost everything here. I'm going to switch over from my quick demo, which was just something we could write quickly, over to an app that was written by our PM, Kyle. Thank you very much, Kyle. Just because it does a little better job of showing you what's in the tree structure return from analysis, because I think this is what you guys are going to, what a developer will spend their more time with. It reminds me of a command line tool, which you're basically, you're handed an infinite set of possibilities from these analysis nodes, and it's really about what you guys go and do with it. We've gone in and added things like bulleted lists and drawings and shapes. We're looking at a lot more domains in the future to sort of make this thing more robust. You know, what is it that you guys want to recognize? Make sure you like let us know or give us feedback, because we will absolutely prioritize looking at what it means to add these things to the analysis engine. I'll just draw some random fun stuff here. I don't know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe a square, a circle, a triangle. What else can we draw in here? Well, let's give it a shot. So if we perform analysis, what you'll see here is sort of not super pretty printed version of the tree. Apparently, I'm really bad at writing the word Tuesday because it looks like Theodicy, but you can kind of get the idea. It's found a square, an ellipse, a triangle. This app is really good if you guys want to basically write whatever you want in here and see how good is this thing really working. So we'll send it out, and you guys are definitely invited to come play with it. If you were at the booth and doing training, you probably helped it get a little bit better, so thank you for that. Janfeng, our other PM, has kind of taken this even further, and he wrote some really cool stuff. You guys probably maybe have already seen this in the booth as well, so I'll just kind of point it out. If I tap here, if I tap on a word, he's recognizing it live. For the bulleted list, if I double tap it, like say I double tap this one, I can now left align it because I wasn't very good at writing clearly. Or if I double tap it, I can do things like move items in the list. This is something you'll see in sticky notes. So these are real features we're building for, you know, real apps inside of Windows, and you'll start to see these things light up as you update through Windows 10. You know, as we build this stuff, we're making it available to you guys because we want you guys to kind of come along as we get more devices running Ink and we sort of build out this story. We want you guys to give us feedback and tell us, you know, what do you need next? What else would you like to look at? Thanks.
Thanks, Shaw. Thanks, Shaw. So, as you've seen, Smart Ink has so many powerful applications. Besides the apps that Shaw's going to demonstrate for you guys, I actually want to share a few more experiences, both from inside Microsoft as well as from our third-party ecosystem that's using Smart Ink today. The first I'm going to show you is an intern project from Microsoft Research. They work with us to integrate Smart Ink and unleash some new experiences on the 84-inch Surface Hub device. Really changing the way productivity could be done while you're ideating on a whiteboard. So what you're going to see here first is a great use of simultaneous pen and touch, basically to indicate the area of interest or intent. The next thing you're seeing is using a feature called They've called table recognition, which is way more efficient than using a mouse and keyboard to modify the size and shape of tables. The next is list recognition, which converts to a checkbox list. What's interesting now is to use shape reco combined with list reco to actually split this into a functional diagram. Really, really, really cool stuff. So just showing the possibilities here of what can be built on Smart Ink. The next thing I want to show you is from one of our great partners, SolidWorks. They've embraced ink recognition into their 3D CAD application. So it actually allows you to draw shapes freehand and then have those transformed into beautiful CAD drawings using the power of Smart Ink. Now, I'm not a mechanical engineer, I'm an electrical engineer, but I'll do my best to sort of explain what's going on here in this scenario. So to set it up, there's an engineer working together with a machine operator to redesign a linkage. They need to change the motion of the mechanism. The engineer takes a picture of the mechanism with their surface device, imports it into SolidWorks, and starts sketching on top of together with the image together with the operator so they can discuss and visualize the change. So the first thing you're going to see the ink toolbar. They're going to ink these connection points with the pen, and they're getting converted into SolidWorks sketch entities. Next thing they're going to do is draw the triangular part of the linkage. And again, using Smart Ink, shape recognizing that triangle and saying, OK, we've got it. And that's now into SolidWorks sketch entity. Doing some polishing here using sensor entities and SolidWorks to sort of smooth the corners. Now to draw the cutouts, a trapezoid and a triangle. Again, Smart Ink is recognizing that under the covers for them to do the cutout removal. Clean up the linkage a little bit using the normal SolidWorks sketch tools. And now the geometry is all created, it's actually now all in the usual workflow of SolidWorks. Now the user draws the other aspect and then connects these two things together with the connecting rods and the crank, and then they can actually show these things working together and see how they operate. Now the really exciting part now is to take that design and extrude the design so it actually becomes a true 3D CAD drawing. All that. Of course, this video is very, very much accelerated up, but this is a very quick process to go efficiently from ideation with the designer, with the mechanical engineer and designers in together, to final product that can actually be extruded out on a real assembly line. So that was really, really cool. Now, just caveat, what we're showing here is a technology preview and isn't, you know, specifically what will be guaranteed to be in the next version of SolidWorks. Now, we only had time to show a small portion of what SolidWorks has been doing here with integrating Smart Ink, but they have a theater session as well, so please go and check that out. If you don't get a chance to, that'll also be pre-recorded. That'll be recorded and put on Channel 9 as well. And then for those who are interested in going deeper with Smart Ink, please check out the pre-recorded session we have presented by Jinfeng Lin on Channel 9. Just search for code P4165.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing I sort of forgot to mention. You know, I went from, hey, here's two lines of XAML to, hey, here's ink analysis, where the sort of the world is, it's really up to you on what to do. In previous builds, there's also a talk from Zhao Tu, sort of one of our father dev leads of ink, talking about some of the more complicated things you might need to do, like load and save ink, replay ink live, do custom dry. So as we're rendering low latency ink, you need to dry it to your own custom document. Make sure you look at those on Channel 9 as well. If I didn't answer some of those questions you might have about how to do the more complicated things when you're ready to bring your app.
For instance, selection.
Selection's another one.
If you want to implement selection on your in Canvas so you actually select the strokes and be able to do operations like cut, copy, paste on those, we actually have that covered in last year's build talk. You'll look under custom dry and it'll explain that.
It's in our samples as well.
Now, as you guys hopefully saw this morning, we introduced Fluent Design during Joe Belfiore's keynote. Now, pen plays a critical role here because it's the most natural input on the computer. Now, I'm going to show you guys how we're evolving two experiences, a little glimpse of the future, what we're doing here with pen. Now, the first I'm going to show you is what we call the pen interaction model. And it's like it governs how the pen interacts with various UI and controls. It has some challenges today. And our users have been very vocal about this. Of all the areas we receive feedback, this is probably the one we got the majority on. It's important to note that while a good percentage of people who have a pen ink with it, 100% of people who have a pen use it to navigate the Windows UI and its applications. And by navigation, we talk about things like tapping buttons, dragging controls, scroll bars, and even selecting text. The inconsistency we see here is The pen came about in an era before touch was created. So what's changed now is that users are now demanding that the pen is expected to work, to be able to naturally manipulate content, just like a finger would on a touch screen. Because the pen was first conceived of during a mouse era, it acts very mouse-like. And even when it's mouse-like, it acts inconsistently across various application surfaces. So the first I'm going to show you here is in the browser. And in this video, you can see the pen by default, what it's doing is selecting text. Then you look at the next UI surface, the start menu in Windows. And in this case, it drags and drops content. The next one we'll look at is, in some cases, it's horrible. It doesn't do anything, does the pen. Totally unpredictable to the user. And they have to go and look for these shy scroll bars to try and move the page up and down. Well, what you're seeing here today doesn't really align with Fluent design. But we're changing that. What we're looking at for Fluent design for pen interactions is to have something that inspires user confidence and has predictable interactions. And it's a very simple model. The pen should do what it does best and just ink on every inking surface. That works today. But when the pen doesn't interact with an inking surface, it should naturally scroll and manipulate content and enable navigation similar to the expectations around touch, irrespective of the surface. Now, when we look at selection, which is a feature that you've had in the mouse-like world, we're actually unifying that under the barrel button of the pen. So it doesn't matter if you're on an inking surface or a non-inking surface. You'll be able to select text, do lasso selection. All these things will be unlocked with the barrel button on the pen. Now, the next thing I'm going to show you is an early prototype of the interaction model. Let me switch it over to the camera here. So here I have my pen, and I'm in the Edge browser. Instead of selecting text, now it can naturally manipulate the content. And it has inertia, just like you'd expect with touch. Now, I've seen this pointer pen info struct I was talking earlier about tilt, and I want to copy this into my code. So I can just press the barrel button on the side of the pen, drag, select the text, context menu comes up, and I can copy that, and then I can paste it right into Word and use that. Easy. All the entire workflow done with the pen in my hand. Thank you. Now, the next experience I want to talk a little bit about where we're influencing with what we call Fluent design is handwriting. Handwriting in Windows today really doesn't align with the design principles of Fluent. The experience involves a disjoint panel that occupies real estate at the bottom of your screen. You're inserting text above, but you need to pay attention to the candidates that are being presented below in the input pane. You need to pay attention to the auto suggestions that are coming out of the text box above. And you can't edit your text naturally because there aren't any gestures to be able to naturally strike through text, for instance. This doesn't also, from a UI perspective, represent beautiful UI. And I think you may have heard some of that this morning. What represents beautiful UI in terms of materials and feel? Well, let's see how we're evolving that with text entry to make that more fluent with pen. So you see here, first we launch Edge with a pen tap. We get the Bing homepage and its search box. By tapping the search box of the pen, it invokes a text entry panel, which overlays the text field. First thing we notice is the acrylic material used, which is brought a beautiful translucent effect with the background. As part of Fluent design, as you're inking, you see the candidates showing up. And it's all the candidates and all gestures are all close at hand. What you also saw was the strikeout gesture. So you can naturally use ink gestures to edit your text in the field. Things like striking out words, joining words together, spacing and splitting words apart. This layout is fluent. It feels natural. Nothing is occluded. You see everything is naturally flowed around the UI. And it really allows you to continue your workflow with just the pen in your hand. And this experience we're showing here is going to come to all text boxes, whether you're using a XAML text box or Win32 rich text control. You're going to get this experience for free in the operating system. So it's transparent for you as a developer to get this much better text entry experience. Now, we're always eager to hear from you guys on how you think the platform can service you better. The alias you need to reach out to is windowsinc@microsoft.com. This alias reaches developers on the platform, program management on the platform, our marketing teams, if you want to partner with us on apps and promotions, and also our hardware engagement. We work with our hardware partners as well to get specific integration features there. So you get a hold of everybody when you hit this one alias. Also, if you are going to tweet anything out regarding your app, regarding the work you're doing with Windows Inc., please use the hashtag Windows Inc. It's a good chance we're interested to retweet that and to also call attention to the work you're doing from the Microsoft Twitter account and the Windows Inc. Twitter account. And also, please check out our partner sessions. So Sketchable's theater session and also the recording on Channel 9 that goes up, and also SolidWorks' theater session to really see the cool stuff that's being done with Dial and Smart Inc. Also, Channel 9 is your friend. So we talked about the pre-recorded talks, the 4165 around Smart Inc., the Surface Dial talk, the 4100 talk, take a look at that, and also the Windows Inc. at Build 2016 that was Scott Stacey and Xiao Tu. They'll show you a little bit about custom dry and doing things like ink selection. And also, don't forget to continue your education at the Microsoft Academy online. And Shaw and I really value your feedback, so please complete an evaluation form at the end of this talk. We'd really, really appreciate it. Thank you, guys, and please enjoy the rest of the build. Thank you, guys.